Support for KBOO comes from our listeners. If you value independent media, go to kboo.fm and click donate. And thank you for supporting your community radio station.
You've been tuned in to Islamic Point of View, here on KBOO Portland. It is now 8:30 a.m. We want to thank you for tuning in and invite you to listen every Sunday morning, God willing, right here on KBOO Portland 90.7 FM from 8 a.m. to 8:30 a.m. We also want to invite you to stay tuned to Pathways with Tom Park.
This KBOO program is made possible in part by KBOO Foundation members and a grant from the Divination Foundation, offering the enlightened decision-making system to help people and organizations make the right moves at the right time. More information at www.divination.com. That's divination.com.
And I can just call you Tom.
Good morning and welcome to Pathways, your journey to self-discovery and awakened living. I'm Tom Park, your host today, and today I'd like to welcome Christine Arilo.
Good morning.
Folks, this is going to be a fun ride. Okay, this woman is really alive, okay? And she has a message for us today that I'm just delighted to bring to my audience. Christine, I'm not sure how to introduce you. Let me tell the book first.
Okay.
Of course, the traveling author, folks, as usual. Her book is Choosing Me Before We, Every Woman's Guide to Life and Love. We're really going to talk about a healthy me as a precedent to all this really rich and wonderful living that we have as possible before us. But you know, Christine, folks, this lady's fun. We're going to have a wonderful ride today. This lady's a gem. Okay, now, I don't know how you got so wise, but I really get it. You really have some guidance for us today that's way insightful, and it comes from time in the trenches. First, I guess, Christine, maybe tell us the beginning. Tell us of how you take a few minutes to let us know who you are.
So, you know, I think a lot of us have had that universal 2x4, universal Mack truck, and I got mine at the age of 30. I was a rising marketing executive, MBA student, had it all together on the outside, the big house, the big car, the big ring, the bright future, all in place until the, actually it was June of 2001, on the way to my engagement party with my boyfriend and fiance.
And no, tell me, how long have you been together?
We had been together for 15 years, so high school sweethearts. And we even had the dog, so we practically were married. And we were on the way to the engagement party, and he was driving about 2 blocks from my mother's house. He literally pulled the car over, just stopped the car, looked at me and said, Chris, I don't love you. I don't want to marry you. And you know what? I've been cheating on you for the last 6 months.
This only happens in movies.
Yeah, I couldn't make that up. I mean, it's drama 101. And it was dramatic, but was even more dramatic is what I actually did afterwards. Dramatic or demented? I'm not sure which one. You know, I wish I could sit here and say, you know, I just looked at him and said, you know, I don't need you. I'm an independent woman. I'll be fine without you. But I didn't. I actually looked at him and I said, you know what? There's a party to go to. There's 40 people waiting for us. We'll go to this party and we'll fix this later. And that's what we did. We went to the party. And if you saw the pictures, Tom, you would know there was nothing wrong. Other than he wasn't in any of the pictures. That would probably be the dead giveaway. But I was smashing. I was smiling. My grandmother was toasting us. And it wasn't until that next day when I woke up where I felt, I don't know if you've ever had this feeling, like someone just took your heart and just ripped it out of your chest. That's what it felt like. And I realized, wow, this was going to take a lot to fix. And I spent those next 2 weeks begging this man to take me back.
Truly? Doesn't sound like you.
No, I mean, this was the lowest point of my life. I mean, how could this smart MBA, vivacious woman literally for 2 weeks cry every day? I couldn't get to work with makeup on my face because I could just cry. I thought I was going to die without this man. And it was only when very wise friends said, Christine, you have to do something. You can't just keep eating pickles and crackers and crying all the time, you know, because you're so upset. And I go, what do I do? And she said, well, you should go see this astrologist. Now, I was living in Chicago in the Midwest at the time, and we didn't do things like see astrologists. But I thought, well, what else, you know, what else can I lose? So I went and saw this very wise woman, and she read his chart and my chart, looked at them and said, honey, she was from Texas, honey, you can follow this man around for the next 40 years, and he's going to break your heart, or you can leave, and your life will open up into possibilities you could never, ever imagine. And so on this very wise woman's advice, I packed my bags, moved into my girlfriend's studio apartment. She shared half a bed, half a closet. So that's girlfriend love. I mean, all the way to share half a closet. And that night I woke up and that heart, you know, was big hole in the chest. And I realized, oh my God, I have been settling for 14 years and 6 months. And I made a vow to myself in that moment, I would never settle again.
Define settle.
Settling is when you accept less than your heart and soul desire in any part of your life. Settling is when you let someone in your life disrespect you. Settling is when you don't honor yourself enough to demand unconditional love in your life. And that moment, and it's been 8 years, I have never settled. In fact, I've started a journey to fall in love with me. And that's what this book is about. That's what I'm about. We have to learn, man, child, daughter, you know, son, dogs, cats. We all need to love ourselves. And that's what I wasn't doing.
Okay, folks. So this is a really good vector to take today because we're talking about me, 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 but in the healthy way. See, there's me, me, me in the unhealthy way. And then there's choosing me in the healthy way. Define the difference.
It's true. If you actually look up self-love in the dictionary, go to dictionary.com, the third definition is narcissism. And I would think we all would agree, right? Narcissism is not a good thing. Many of my girlfriends have been married to narcissists. There's actual stories about narcissists in the book. It's not good because you're not thinking about the other person. But loving yourself, and if you ask any spiritual leader, what they would say to you is, the more you love you, the more you can love other people. In fact, you can't really give unconditional love until you can actually unconditionally love yourself. So I want to change the definition of self-love. And I want it to be a world in which we are like, yes, I love myself. Of course I do. And you know what? I love you too because I can.
Very good. Very good. So now here you are. You're an author. Are you still doing these other business career items, or are you primarily an author and teacher these days?
I'm primarily an author and a teacher and a coach. I left corporate America 3 years ago when I was writing the book and I was watching all the women around me suffering. Like I just couldn't deal with it anymore. I'm like watching these women, whether they were single and they were like, oh, I just need to find a man to be happy, or they were settling in their relationships, or they were married and they couldn't get the partner that they wanted. I said, you know, I have to do something about this. And so I quit my job to write this book and become a coach. So I do life coaching with people to teach these things that for whatever reason have come through me that I've learned.
There's no way around it today. We're going to have to deal with you know, the big bad issue, men.
Yes.
So
they're not big bad,
well,
though.
Hey, but you got all these women.
Yeah.
And how many of them have found somebody who's willing, who's capable, who is even motivated to create this kind of a vibrant relationship? It's a weak group, okay? It's a weaker species here. So we'll deal with that later in the show. But now I wanted to have you go on this journey still.
Yes.
Take us along with you. So what's happening next?
So I got hit by the 2x4, and I went on an amazing healing journey. And I think, you know, that a lot of us have that story. And mine was, you know, similar to many people's. I didn't, you know, get to like Elizabeth Gilbert and Eat, Pray, Love. She got to go away for a year and go to Bali and in Italy. That was fantastic. I worked full time, got my MBA, and did my spiritual journey. And I met amazing teachers. I had three therapists working on me at one time in Chicago. I was getting body work and healing. And you know what? To be honest, I didn't even know what that was. I didn't know I had a soul or a spirit to heal. I was like, what does that mean? But I learned that I had all these layers of myself that I wasn't even, that weren't healed. I started going to Unity Church. I saw a lot of the guests that you have on here, Tom. I studied with them. I read their books. And I just started this exploration, studied with healers, all the, you know, shamans in Hawaii and shamans in Bali, and just a self-discovery journey.
Okay, so can you ever have a hope of genuinely loving yourself without discovering yourself first?
No.
Tell me about that.
It's the first step of loving yourself. In order to love yourself, you actually have to know who you truly are. And you have to know who you are beneath the fear, which is what a lot of us, you know, it's prevalent in our society. It's everywhere. So most of us are driven by that until we wake up to be like, oh, wow, my fear is driving my life. I may not want that. You have to find out who you truly are beyond what society has said you should be. Your parents have said that you should be. The obligations that we put on ourselves. And we all have beautiful gifts inside of us. We all have a unique spirit and soul and purpose for being here. And it takes some time to find out what that is. I mean, it took me a good 5 years from the moment that my relationship ended to the first moment that I really felt like I really did love myself. And I'm still on the self-love journey. It's forever.
You bet.
It's forever. But it 5 years to get to that one point.
And that's some serious seeking.
Serious seeking, serious studying with teachers, a lot of honesty. I mean, one of the things I talk about in the book and I teach to people is that there's vows that you have to take to yourself before you ever take vows to anyone else.
Okay, this is a hardship, folks. I'm sorry, but the practical side of this, I agree totally. But the practical side of this, to grow up, to heal before you start a vibrant relationship, good luck, Christine.
Well, it's true. I mean, a lot of us, right, we end up in that first relationship and we're not awake. We don't really know who we are. We don't love ourselves. We don't trust ourselves. We're not honest with ourselves. And so we end up like I did, you know, being dumped on the way to your engagement party, or worse, being married and then having to go through the pain of a
divorce.
It would be worse. And, you know, then there's children involved. And so it is hard. However, I think that we are in a transition period in the world right now. And I think it is possible that future generations may not have to go through as much suffering as we have had to in generations, my generations and your generations. And I think that relationships can be part of the process. You know, I met my current husband several months after this big blow up happened. And most people would be like, warning, warning, Will Robinson, codependent relationship on its way. But that wasn't the case. I actually learned how to let myself be loved by my husband because I met this great guy.
He had a gift for you.
He did. He had the gift of love. And I knew it existed. I just had never experienced it before. I kept trying to make my other partner, my ex-person, into this man that could do it. And he didn't have the capability. So when I met Noah, it's my husband, you know, he said to me, Christine, you know, I don't know what's going to go on between the two of us, but you have to raise your standard for men. You can't like someone because they're nice to you. They're supposed to be nice to you. You would have thought he just handled me like, you know, the Holy Grail. I was like, wow, really? Like, I didn't get that. So, yeah, I think you can find relationships that you can grow with.
Okay. You have such an incisive grasp of this whole relationship dance, and it's really big juice for most all of us, listeners and me, everybody. Okay, there's some key concepts here.
Yes.
I want you to unload on these things.
All
really
right,
give
let's
us
go.
The visceral.
Absolutely.
Lies. Mm. The lies we tell ourselves and the lies we manipulate each other with. Tell me about that. I mean,
so one of the biggest pieces of choosing me before we is you have to be honest with yourself. This is a promise.
With yourself.
With yourself.
So we're lying to ourselves.
Oh, yeah. You are sitting, did you know you're sitting across from the biggest queen of illusion probably ever to live in the Midwest? I mean, what happens for a lot of us is we create the relationships that we want to have in our head versus the ones that we're actually having. So if you want a great relationship, you have to first promise to yourself, I will always be honest with me, unwavering, uncompromising honesty. And it's hard. It's really hard, but it's possible. And I think from one of the first steps is what are some of the lies that we do tell ourselves? Ready for the biggest one?
Go.
Biggest one. I can fix him. He will change for me. If I love him more, I know he will be his potential. It's a huge lie. For one reason, people don't change unless they want to. I mean, you know, Tom, I mean, seriously, it's hard work to change. Yeah. And people don't change unless they want to. And the second piece is that if you're saying that about somebody, you know, that you're going to fix them, and fixers are like this, Tom, they will actually be fixers for all people. So not just their spouses, but they'll be fixing their kids, they'll be fixing their parents, their sisters or brothers. It's probably because you're avoiding something in your own life. And so you need to stop and look at yourself. And ask, what am I avoiding? And that's why I was trying to fix my ex-person, because I didn't want to deal with my own emotional holes.
Will people make this kind of movement without an emotional cannon to their head?
Oh, that's what I got. You know, that's why I wrote. Yeah. But that's why I wrote the book. Because here's what I think. I think there's conversations that we're not having. You look a lot of the relationship books out there. It's like How to Catch a Guy in 10 Easy Steps. Get someone to fall in love with you in 90 seconds. And I think those are they're not going deep enough to, you have to love yourself. You have to be honest with yourself. You have to know yourself. And so it's hard work. I'm not going to lie to you that it's easy, but it is possible. And I think people really want love so much. They're looking for how does that happen? And we're just looking in the wrong places.
Let me ask like a seemingly stupid question.
Sure.
How does loving yourself look, or how does it feel? Can you give me some flesh on that?
Yeah, absolutely. The first piece, like we already talked about, is really knowing yourself. So it's that self-discovery piece. But the hardest piece is accepting yourself for who you are right now in this moment. And I don't know about you, but I have this voice in my head that is very mean to me often.
Yep.
You know, tells me what I should have done, what I could have done. I've named her Mean Patty. She has red hair and she wears a green smock, and she likes to beat me with large yardsticks to tell me everything I haven't done. And a lot of us have this. So it's a path of really learning to be okay with who you are right now. Like Eckhart Tolle says, right? The power of now, it's all we have. So can you love yourself for who you are right now? Not who you used to be, not who you're going to become. And that is another piece of the journey.
Do you need a reason to be able to do that?
To be able to love yourself?
Yeah.
I don't know. You need a reason. No, I mean, you should just, I mean.
See, my process is, why do I get to do this?
Why do you get to?
Because you're
a human being. It's part of, I mean, it's why we're, one of the reasons why we're here. I mean, seriously, I mean, we're not just here to, you know, go to work every day, 9 to 5.
Okay,
we're,
so the fact is, it's really a God-given privilege to have this love with yourself
Oh my God, if you dare to be loved. That's what I say, dare to be loved and dare to love yourself. And I think, yeah, you know, a lot of us don't think that we deserve it. And there's not a person on this planet
that doesn't. That's
what I'm talking about. Yeah, and we feel that way. But everybody deserves it. Not a person on this planet that doesn't deserve to be loved by themselves and by other people.
Yeah, very good. So another thing, this thing about completing me. Mm. You kind of touched on it a little bit, but that's a biggie out there. I mean, both men and women, they feel like there's some completion that they need.
Mm-hmm.
To have life be what it can be. And what
well,
do you say?
You know, it's all Tom Cruise's fault. When he played Jerry Maguire with Renee Zellweger in Jerry Maguire, and he walked in and he said, you know, you complete me. And that sounds romantic. But if you think about it, if you need someone to complete you, and that person leaves, so say they leave on their own volition or they die or whatever, are you 75% of a person? No. I mean, you have to be whole. WHOLE inside of yourself, and you can't be in a relationship because you need that person. I mean, that's different from being better because you're with each other. But if you need that person because you're gonna, like I felt like I was gonna die without this person, that is, it's gonna set you up for a codependent relationship. And of course it's gonna be hard to leave that relationship because you think you would die without it. So part of loving yourself is knowing that you are whole. And that's part of the journey of acceptance.
Take some courage.
Self-love.
Take some courage, because there's a lot of cultural suppositions that we swim in like a soup. So it takes a little courage.
It does. Well, it takes huge courage even to say that you love yourself. I mean, you know the flack that I get for talking about self-love? I mean, it's either like people are like, oh, well, that's, you know, what do you mean by self-love? Or, you know, well, you know, that's narcissistic, Christine. And I don't want to live in that world, Tom. I want to live in a world where it's like, yeah, of course. Would you ever tell your children don't love yourself?
Mm.
No. But we tell ourselves it all the time.
Wow. Very good. Okay. Speaking of the world.
Yes.
So, folks, as an advice I do take myself, find company of other people that are like-minded, other people who want this journey, who have some of these goals. How difficult is it, Christine, if you don't have any positive company, if you don't have any like company? This is really challenging.
You can't do it. You cannot do this on your own. Period. I mean, you have to be around people that are going to support you, because like you said, it is hard. You're going against the cultural norm. You're going against your own training. My family thought I was nuts. I mean, my mother's like, did you join a cult? You know, what's this Unity Church business? You know, is it a cult? Or when I started therapy, she said something like, well, you know, why would you go and tell your feelings to people? We don't do that. And I'm like, well, that's why I'm in this mess in the first place. So you will probably run up against family and relatives and friends. I'm actually not friends with anyone that I was friends with when that happened to me 8 years ago.
Wow. That's a statement.
Mm-hmm. But you know what? My life is full of people who are seekers, who are living their lives, who know themselves, who are on this journey of loving themselves. And that's okay. That's okay. Relationships come and go. And if you want a great life and you want to love yourself, you have to be willing to let go of relationships that don't support that.
Oh, that's powerful. You got to find your tribe.
Your soul family. You mean I often say that you're born with your relatives, you choose your family. And so I have lots of sisters.
Oh, that's nice. Born with your relatives.
Born with your relatives, but you choose your family. And you can be a relative, but you only get into the family if, you know, you choose. I choose you to be in that.
I like that. Okay. There's another one. I'm going to let go of this stuff with the negative words, but this is so valuable, I think. And it's so confronting. I love it. Needy. Okay. Now, hey, in this culture, needy is a demigod. Okay.
Well, hello, Prince Charming. I mean, the myth of Prince Charming is still alive and well. So Prince Charming, what, he goes and he rescues Cinderella right from the evil stepmothers. What would have been better is if Cinderella had packed her own bags, got on her own horse, and got her own apartment for a while and dated Prince Charming. Much better story. And so I think there's still a lot of women that think it's, you know, well, A, number one, you tell me, men don't want to date or marry needy women. There is nothing more powerful or beautiful than a woman who loves herself. And I haven't met a man yet that said, other than my ex-person, because he actually said to me when he broke up with me, he said, you know what, you just don't need me anymore.
Oh.
And I said, you know what, I shouldn't need you. I shouldn't. And if that's why a relationship that's why we're still together, then you know what, I have to go. And that was a good sign.
It's awful high standard. We probably have folks trembling in their seats right now listening to us thinking, oh, God, this isn't going to be like my life. This is some super life.
No, but it's one step at a time. I mean, you're talking to me 8 years after the fact, right? You know, I have cried. I have gone to the depths of my soul. I have done stupid things. I have, you know, I've been in therapy. I've studied with masters, but it's a journey. You only have to say yes to the process. I say yes to falling in love with myself one step at a time.
And everything else is just sequential to that, right?
Yeah.
I mean, everything else flows from that, yes?
Yes. It happens one step at a time. So you just have to decide. Right now, if you just say, okay, I'm going to say yes to loving myself, one of my websites, www.madlyinlovewithme.com, I started a movement on February 13th. It's actual International Madly in Love with Me Day. Been accepted on the calendars. It's a holiday. Gotta love me before Valentine's Day. And if you go into that website, you actually can download a free self-love starter kit.
All right. Hey, you tell it again. What is the website?
MadlyInLoveWithMe.com. And it gives you some of the starter ideas, or even if you're already on the journey, some ways to go deeper with yourself or with your girlfriends, because, you know, you can't do this alone. And there's wacky things in there that I did. Like, wacky things, like, one was my therapist said, every day you get up, before you do anything, even brush your teeth, I want you to look in the mirror and say, I love you, Christine. I thought he had lost his rocker. Like, I'm like, really? But every morning I did it. And my dog thought I was a little crazy. I lived alone. She thought I was a little nuts. But between doing that and walking around the block every morning when I lived in Chicago, I would do 50 affirmations. I love myself. I love myself. I love myself. And I would count them out on my fingers every day. And I don't know why it works, but it just does. And it was part. That was step number one. And so that's something you can do right away. It sounds wacky, but, you know, heck, you know.
Okay, we're going to return to that at the end of the show. We want to leave the folks with a place to go, some things to do. I've got to bring you into one other thing that's painful for so many of us, but it's so much a part of the reality in our lives. I need you to talk about divorce, and I need you to talk about how divorce can be the way forward. Mm-hmm. I want you to talk about divorce.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, 1 in 5 marriages will end before the 5th year of marriage. And we still, our divorce rate is still at around 50%. So it's a reality that one in two people actually deal with.
Okay, more visceral.
Yeah.
How many people that stay married, the other 50% that stay married, how many of them do you think that have a real life if they let it go?
I think there's probably about 25% of couples that are actually happy and well-suited for each
other. Thank you for the truth.
Mm-hmm. And so I think sometimes a relationship ending is the best thing that could ever happen. We have a false belief in our society that if a relationship ends, it's a failure. That somehow everything that happened before this point is just negated, washed out, and everything's a failure. No! I mean, relationships are, they come and they go. It's a natural process. And so if you're in a relationship with somebody and you're not happy and that person isn't happy, why would you want to keep staying in the relationship? And there's all kinds of reasons, ones of which we say, well, because we love each other. Dead fish on the table, love is not enough of a reason to stay in a relationship. ever.
Dead fish.
Dead. So it's a leftover from an old boss of mine. But I love it because it's the truth. You know, you can stay in a relationship forever because of love and still be miserable. And so love the person, but just end the relationship. And I think what happens for a lot of people where divorces really get ugly is that we wait till we hate the other person, till we've hurt the other person, till there's cheating or drama and deceit. Be adult enough to go to your partner and say, you know what? I'm not happy. This is what I need from you in our relationship. Can you be that person? Ask that question of your partner. Can you be that person? And then listen to what they say. And if they say no, believe them. My partner told me he couldn't be the partner I wanted. What did I do? Did I listen? No, Tom, I didn't listen. I tried to fix him. If they say, you know, I want to be that person. I don't know how. That means that they're willing to work with you on it. So go ahead and work together. But, you know, put a time limit to it. Don't make it, you know, 10 years and there's no change that's happening. So I think it goes back to the honesty piece. You have to know yourself what you want. You have to be honest about what you have in your relationship. And then ask your partner for it. You know, I think we people are mind readers or something. And it's a dangerous sport, mind reading, in a relationship.
Oh, deadly. So I want to take a minute, Christine, because our time's almost gone. In the book, Choosing Me Before We, what sort of guidance will be? Give me some positives, will you?
Absolutely.
I brought up so many things about the pain and the challenges.
So the way I wrote the book is the first five chapters are all about me. And they're the five vows that you get to take with yourself. Not have to take, but get to take with yourself. And then the second part of the book is called He or She, depending on the pronoun that you want to attract. And it's all about how do you attract in your the soul of the person you want to attract into your life. Not the portfolio, not the packaging, but the soul of what you want to create to attract. And the last two chapters are all about creating great we's. What does it take to create an authentic partnership? And that's about intimacy and vulnerability and trust and respect. And you have to get that first inside yourself. Here's the thing. Great love and great relationships are possible. I know it. I have it. I'm married to it. I know it's possible. I've coached other people into it. And you have to love yourself first, and you have to be willing to let the love in from the other person. And that's what this book is about. It's a book about love. You know, yeah, it's going to help you have a better relationship, but it's going to help you love yourself more and help you attract to you, whether you're married or you're single. It doesn't matter. If you don't know what you want, you can't ask for it.
So if we're motivated enough by this desire, mm-hmm. by this wish to create, it can drag us through a journey that's completely enriching.
Oh, yeah. I mean, you will skip through the journey. You know, it'll be hard. I'm not going to lie to you. But that's why you said, go find other people to do it with you.
You've got
to
have company.
I'm sitting here with you today in Oregon because I took this journey. And you think I wasn't scared? I was scared to death to quit my corporate job. I was scared to death to go fly to New York to find a publisher. Every step along the way, but I did it because I have faith. And that's why I'm sitting here in front of you today, because I have faith in something bigger than me. And I have faith in love. And I think every one of us can attain that.
Yeah. Fantastic. So, folks, the book is Choosing Me Before We, Every Woman's Guide to Life and Love. And again, I need some websites, one or two.
Absolutely. You can go to the book website, which is www.mebeforewe.com. And you can also go to the Madly in Love with Me site, which is www.madlyinlovewithme.com, and get your free love starter kit and get the self-love going.
Bless you. Thank you for coming to Pathways.
Thank you so much, Tom, for having me on. It's been wonderful.
So, folks, thanks for joining us today. And Pathways program is made possible in part by a grant from the Divination Foundation. Also, our friends from the Oregon College for Oriental Medicine have been supporting us lately. So we're so delighted to have these sponsors supporting Pathways through the months. So if you'd like, go over and take a visit at divination.com. Lots of fun stuff. They'd love to have you drop in. Thanks for joining us today. And next week, myself or Paul O'Brien will be back to join you here on Pathways.